Well, as you all know, I used to be a schoolmaster and I taught physics, and I used to spend a lot of my time modelling the invisible, modelling using things that you could see and then translate that to things that you cannot see. And that's what we're doing all the time in church, and by faith we believe. Now, I think you might recognise this. Is the two youngsters here, do you recognise that? The children, do you recognise that? It's a milk bottle. I did wonder whether or not you'd be able to do that, because they're all plastic today, aren't they? And this is the old-style milk bottle. And this has got a sort of a transfer on it. It says that they are tuberculin-tested Jersey milk, Higher Trenowth Farm, Falmouth. I think that's up near Mabe, isn't it? So as you go through that shortcut and get to the end, I think that farm's on there. You don't know? Just on the right there. That's where this has come from. Why have they put the transfer on there? Because anybody finding it can return it. Yeah? That's the idea. All sorts of things have connected with milk and milk deliveries. There used to be a prepaid token that you could buy from the milk people. Anybody done that? Yeah? You could buy it because they didn't trust the milkman with money. Or they felt that it couldn't add up properly or whatever. So you had a prepaid token, all right? Now, what does that tell us? It's got a stamp on here. Who it belongs to? Who do we belong to? We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And through our baptism, the transfer we've got on our brow is the cross, which was given there at our baptism, probably. We belong to him. Jesus expects us to return to him. He seeks the lost. He seeks to help us seek the lost, to bring them in with his message. That's what Jesus is saying in that very first verse. Praying for those who have not yet heard, but yet through the message might believe. That's the milk bottle. Got to figure out what the next one is now. Now, this one. It's got embossed on it, heavily embossed. It says Boots Chemists. We all know about them. But in the middle, down the centre between Boots Chemists, it says Cash. Can anybody explain why it's got cash on this bottle? It's not, yes.
You have to get money back if you took the bottles back.
No. Normally that's the idea, but it isn't in this particular case. Boots had an all-night chemist in the 1930s and 40s in Nottingham. That's where Boots was. And if you went to that all-night chemist, you had to pay cash. No messing around. All right, no checks, no bits of paper or anything. You had to pay cash. All right? Cash is good stuff, isn't it? You know, it's what the world goes round with. Got it stuffed under the mattress because the interest rates have disappeared. All right? It's the real deal, this, isn't it? It's the real deal, cash. And Jesus is the real deal for everybody in this world. We see people in a different light as Christians. All right? Some of the best advice ever given to me was by a Christian MP. He said, Alex, he said, I don't just support the people who voted for me. I have to represent all my people in the constituency. And he said, the person coming to see me at my surgery, all right, Jesus died on the cross for that person just as much as he died for me. And that is how we've got to see people, other people who don't know Jesus, that Jesus died for them, not just for us. Jesus died on the cross for them. It's the real deal. That's what it is. Now, the next one. Now, this says H&A Gilby Limited. Now, I know some of you might know what used to be in this bottle.
Roger says it's a gin.
Michael, you're always a tonic. So, do you want any more? Anyway. The thing is, this is darkened glass, isn't it? Why is this gin in here, what used to be in here, why was it put in a darkened bottle? Why is red wine put in a darkened bottle? Why are our tablets from the surgery, some of them, in darkened plastic? Anybody know the answer to that? Gosh. Light sensitive, yes. And it's the ultraviolet light, which is, you know, the energy-laden stuff in light, in ordinary light, which can actually get inside here and disturb the chemical ingredients, if you like. We need protection in our lives, don't we, from the evil one who will take away the seed from the message that we give to other people. We have to be prepared. Every morning, put on the whole armour of God. All right? And don't take it off at night either. All right? Because in the night, what were we thinking of? Put on the whole armour of God. God's protection is there for us. Call upon it in our lives daily. And I've got a little bottle here, and it's actually got something in it. Can the children sort of guess what's in it? Water, yes. Anybody guess where the water's from? The Jordan, yes, the Jordan. Right? Now, the water that's going to be put in that bowl later on this morning at the baptism is actually from the River Jordan. What a church. We're right up to, you know, you're going to get baptised in the River Jordan here. It's waiting for you. Well, not quite. But this thing, this, something about this that's, it's made of water molecules, and if I put it like this, there are more water molecules in this bottle now than there are bottles of water in the sea. If I tried to enter the sea using this bottle, and I counted the number, there'd still be less than the number of molecules in here. I know what you're going to say, Alex, you're amazing. But where did I get that from? I used to try and prepare sixth formers for the Cambridge exam entrance paper, which they're just bringing back, actually. And this was the most difficult part of my career because some of those questions were humdingers. Where did that come from? And here's one connected with this. We all breathe in some air molecules from the dying breath of Julius Caesar. Comment. Okay? Anybody got an answer to that one? Well, I think you've got to say, well, you know, how deep is the atmosphere? How small is an air molecule? And that, in that way, we know the volume of the atmosphere, and we know the density of the air on average, and we can work out the number of molecules in the atmosphere. We can get the number of molecules in a person's breath, you know. And it's true, we're all breathing in some of the air molecules from the dying breath of Julius Caesar, all of us. But if that's true, we're actually breathing in the breath of Jesus that he breathed out on the disciples when he came back to the upper room. And the first thing he said was, the first thing he did was, he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Some of that breath we take in. Do we take in the message in our lives that the Holy Spirit is there? Not just an add-on, but actually somebody in our lives, a person who invigorates us, who guides us, who inspires us, who gives us the message in the first place. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to me yesterday. I don't think they knew what they were coming to. But one thing I noticed is, every time you mention the Holy Spirit, they sideways, all right? Didn't even want to know. Know about Jesus, yes, we agree with Jesus. How about the Holy Spirit? Well, don't you think the world's a terrible place? And going round all the time. And don't let's have the Holy Spirit as the forgotten third part of the Trinity. Because Abraham there received a message. He met the Trinity. Have you noticed how it goes from, you know, singular to plural, back to singular? He meets the Lord, then three men arrive with a message. Then he meets the Lord at the end. He met the Trinity. How fantastic. But we can live with the Trinity. We've got body, mind and soul. We've also got Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We've got an internal Trinity of our own. Body, mind and spirit. And the mind has got this struggle between the soul and the body all the time. Trying to choose. It's the soul we engage when we engage the Holy Spirit. So click into the Holy Spirit in your life for the messaging. Now, what do you think that's for? That's the children. What do you think this is for? This has got something inside it, hasn't it? It's got air. It's got a card as well. What do you think the card's doing in there? A message. Thank you, Grandma. There's a message. There's a message in it. All right, it used to be a song, didn't there? A message in the bottle?
Yeah.
Yes? Anybody know the words? Message in the... No. Have you ever done this? Put a message in the bottle and cast it into the sea? Marine litter. That's what it's called nowadays. You can't do that. But have you done that in the past? Can you put your hand if you put a bottle into the sea with a message? What do you put on the message? Can you remember?
I think I put my address on.
Put your address on, yeah. It might end up in South America, and they might... Well, they're not going to send a bottle back, are they? I mean, they're not going to end up here, but they might actually reply. And you might start up a pen friendship. It used to be the thing in the old days, didn't it? But now it's marine litter. So, what sort of a message can we put in here? Well, we're now going off to the island of St. Kilda, which... I'll have to come back here, it's out of focus. It's about 110 miles off the Scottish mainland, all right? And there used to be a people lived there. I think they lived there back in the Bronze Age. There's always been people on there. But let's have a look and see what they look like. Those are the buildings that sort of remain. Some of them have been re-roofed with corrugated iron. And you can see, you know, I think just on the hillsides there, those lumps, I think that's hay or something. But you can see immediately it goes off into mountains, a very barren landscape. Can we have a look at the people? There they are. Pretty, aren't they? Fantastic. All right. This is just the church. Now, what do you think about that? There's that building behind them, which I think is a storeroom, but they're mostly women, are they? Where are the men? Out probably working, I think. Yes. But everything had to be done by hand. There was no machinery. There was no electricity. There was no running water. You couldn't go down to the spa and get something. You had to get it yourself out of the soil or keeping animals or collecting seabirds' eggs. Okay? Let's have a look at the next one. This is a woman, you see, with a spinning wheel, and you had to make your own clothes. Okay, ladies? Fancy that, making your own clothes, doing that, getting the woolen, everything else. There used to be a ship that used to come once a month with supplies of food and stuff. Well, not once a month, once every 6 months. And the next one. Have we got it?
Just those 4 hours.
Was it? Well, have we had four?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we had. We had the map. That was the one. Yeah. Now, the thing was, everything's fine on islands like that until you fall ill. And I suppose they had some medication and so on, but if you fell seriously ill, had appendicitis or something like that, this was the only link with the mainland. You would put this message in the bottle, and I think they knew by experience where to cast these into the sea so that it would arrive at a particular place on the mainland, and people on the mainland would be walking their dogs and looking out for these messages. And the life there became so tough that they had to be taken off, evacuated, if you like, in 1931, and taken to the mainland. And the last person to be evacuated who was still alive died last year. And she remembers her mother being taken off in a small boat to a medical boat because the message that they'd sent was that, you know, she had appendicitis, could you send the medical ship? And the ship came along with the doctor and the nurse and took her mother on board, but unfortunately she died. So it's a very tough life out there on these islands without modern civilization. But the message in the bottle tells us, where do our messages come from? They don't arrive in a bottle, do they? They arrive in our soul from God. They arrive in our soul from God. And we've got the privilege of sending messages back through our soul, through our prayers. And miraculously, some of these get answered. Some of them go into God's in-tray. Some of them, I think, are things which have always been there, insoluble things, which really, you know, we've prayed about and haven't got an answer. But for those, I think, we've got to put them at the foot of the cross for God to deal with. So our messaging, really, is directly to God. We've got the direct line through our prayers, through our soul today. What message are we going to give to people? Oh, by the way, I don't know if you get the times, but here was another island experience. This one. Island searches the globe for a teacher. This has got the inspirational name of the Isle of Muck. All right? Okay? There's a picture there of the primary school with 7 children. Teacher's dream, that, isn't it? Yeah? 30 people live here. All right? The electricity is a bit mercurial. There's no shop, there's no post office. There is a ferry, however. Anybody fancy that? You know, going. You see, for an island experience, you've got to be a particular sort of person. What sort of person do you have to be a Christian or become a Christian? Well, you can be anybody, but they've got to be a seeker. And that seeker has got to get the message of the good news, of the gospel. What message are we going to give them? Well, something like this. There is a God, he loves us, he sent his son to die for us, for our sins, and one day he's coming back to make everything right. Just as simple as that, the message that we can give to people. And just as Abraham met 3 strangers, as it were, just popped in, the Trinity, met 3 strangers, okay, we're meeting strangers all the time, aren't we? Yes? Down on the beach, you strike up a conversation with somebody, okay? You know, I said the other day, didn't I? What do you do? What do you live? All right? Which church do you go to? That's a question, isn't it? Which church do you go to? Which church do you go to? Well, the Christian life isn't all about sin and death and sadness and so on. There's another bottle here. Christine said to me, don't go and share that out. This is champagne. You know, Christianity, you know, Christ is the champagne of life. The bubbly. The people, you know, he said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. It's the champagne of life. The spiritual life. Meeting our body, meeting our needs, meeting our true happiness. Finding the true meaning of life in him. Not wandering around in this present culture of celebrity. But just wandering through this culture, giving the message of Jesus dying on the cross for all our sins. So that we might be with God forever. Amen.